for tat, for every tint, there's a tat. Tit, tit, tat, tat, tit, tit, tat, tit for tat. Thomas and Miranda, a dude and a queen, talking about the gossip out on the scene, and you can count on them to give you the dish. And if we don't like you, you're a son of a bitch.
Oh my.
Tit for tat, oh tit for tat, for every tit, there's a tat. Tit, tit, tat, tat, tit, tit, tat, tit.
Hey, all you titty tats out there, it's the Tit for Tat Show.
Hooray.
Hooray, hooray.
Pride
hooray,
edition.
Hooray, hooray. Yes, it is. It is the Pride edition.
Yes.
I am your giant pride flag drag queen, Verandal and I.
Yay.
And that is my prideful friend, Mr. Thomas.
Yay. You got to cheer for yourself.
I know, right? Yay.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Mental health month, too, right?
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yep. And the way the world is going, we need all the mental health we can get.
Yes.
But it's Pride Month, and we just celebrated our pride here in the CLE.
Yes, we did.
And it was fabulous.
Yeah, you stole the show again.
Well.
It's your show. I guess you can't steal it, right?
I didn't steal anything.
Okay.
You can't prove anything.
And who else do we have with us, as usual, tonight? Producer.
Come on now.
Hi.
Hi.
How you guys doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fabulous.
Yeah. Fabulous. Yes.
Happy Pride, Mike.
Yes. Happy Pride.
Yeah. So how do you celebrate Pride? You're an ally, you're a friend. You're
always an ally. Yeah, ally, friend. Ally. Yeah. All the positive things.
All the positive things. Yeah. See, that's what we like.
An ally and a friend.
We like that. We need more allies and friends.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Lord knows that's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was funny because it was... the march this year was a lot bigger than last year, which was great because I think people are out. It was like a beautiful day too as well, so that was really nice. And there were the protesters. Like there were three.
Oh, there
count
you go.
Them.
Wow.
Three protesters with their bullhorns. And mind you, our pride is set up in a very wide open space.
Yeah.
So it's lots of people over a distance.
Yeah.
So these people were just barking in the wind, which is hilarious. And I came across one of our faith leaders, our LGBT faith leaders in the community. And they're like, oh, I have a story to tell you. I walked right up to them because they're all, you know, screaming about, you know, Christian nationalism.
Yes.
And I literally went over them and gave them a card that says, God loves you too. And they wouldn't take it. And they wouldn't take it. And they wouldn't take it. And then they finally took it and they flicked it over their shoulder.
Wow.
I said, and now you're blaspheming.
Wow.
I mean, just the audacity.
There's right. no hate like Christian love.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it was all wonderful to see all these beautiful people, especially families, and our teens were there. And it was just so nice to see that they were happy and they were smiling.
Yeah.
And they felt comfortable.
Yeah.
And they had their friends with them. And it was just, it was a beautiful sight. It was a gorgeous day. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you do it, right?
Yeah. And we got thousands of Pride emails.
Good.
So we pulled some out and we're going to get to the mail sack.
Right.
Oh, right. Let's do it.
Yay.
Let's do it. All right. Let me see here. Happy Pride, my loves.
Happy Pride.
Yes. We are planning on hitting as many Pride events as possible this year. At the CLE this year, it states family friendly and all ages in regard to conduct. What exactly is this?
Yeah.
This was Carrie from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Carrie, it was meant to be that, you know, there was an entertainment that was for everyone. Like there were a couple theater troupes that did some numbers on stage. There were a couple choruses, three or four chorus groups that were their choral groups. There were drag performances that were, you know, meant for all ages. There was so much going on. And the vendors were there that were all family friendly. Like there was nothing that was suggestive or, you know, ill-conceived by the creators of Pride, the ones who put it on. And it was meant to be that way. You know, it's an open space. It's open to the public. And it couldn't have been any better. You know, there were lots of food vendors. There were lots of, you know, health services. There were lots of things that were there to be a good resource.
Yeah.
And I actually had a colleague of mine there. Their kid has kind of switched their pronouns and is starting to come out as trans. And they didn't know what to do. And they chatted with me for a little while. And I said, hey, why don't you bring them to Pride? There's a lot of different family services that are there that you can have a great conversation with many people. And now I think you won't feel so alone. You won't still feel like you're in this vacuum.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were thrilled. And I did see them there. And they were like, I'm overwhelmed, but I'm so happy that there's all these things that I didn't know existed. So, like, that's the positive portion about Pride.
Right.
It's there to be for everyone.
Yeah. Well, we're going to revisit that my thoughts as we move forward.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Hello, Titty Tats. Happy Pride.
Hello.
Pride feels incredibly different this year. I feel like it's essential to be there. Why is this so different? And that's from Sean in New York City. Not my Sean.
No, not your Sean.
No, I'm sure. That wouldn't be something he'd be
asking. No. Well, what do you think, honey?
You know, I think I can say I feel the same thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like it is kind of essential Pride this year. I think with all the hate legislation, I kind of feel like, all right, let me throw this out at you. Pride originally was a protest, as you are quite well aware.
Yes.
Pride was a riot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel this is just me speaking for me, I kind of feel like we're headed towards revisiting true Pride.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an enormous personal problem with the sanitation of Pride.
Mm-hmm.
Sanitizing something that was meant to be raw and rough and real is an issue for me. And don't get me wrong, I think there's room for everybody at this table. I am not trying to impose my beliefs. But, you know, there was a Pride when you would see Leathermen in jockstraps. There was Pride when you would see topless women, dykes on bikes, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And everybody in our community was included and welcomed. If you did not have kids as a member of the LGBT community, why do you have to change your behavior and the way you want to express pride because some people choose to have kids, you know?
Sure.
I understand it all. Personally, it's hard for me. You know, it's the whole corporate rainbow thing.
Right.
However, much to this email stating, corporations are running away from Pride now, right? Because of the whole Target fiasco last year. And to me, it feels like who's left now? We have each other.
Right.
And don't try to diminish us so that everybody can feel comfortable. Yep. Does that make sense somehow?
It absolutely does.
Okay.
No, I'm right there behind you. And just so what I saw as well, where I did see some topless women.
Oh, you did?
There.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not illegal to be topless in Ohio. No,
it's
not.
I didn't know that.
And just like you can make a U-turn anywhere in Ohio, like it's not illegal. Like, there are some laws that we don't necessarily we're not keenly aware of, but there were also Leathermen there. They may not have been in jockstraps, but they were definitely there representing. And I'm not trying to take away from your.
Oh, no.
You know, it is a protest. And I've always said that Pride is a protest. And just being there is the protest, especially against those that are still yelling at us, you know, from the sidelines. And that was always there. And, you know, we had the angels that blocked their view. And, there's still that moment. And I think we turned the corner about 4 years ago, at least here, that it was no longer called a Pride Parade. It was the Pride March.
Got it.
And they got rid of all the floats. They got rid of all the things that were just kind of frivolous.
Yeah.
Like fun and frivolous. Whereas now there's different groups that are that are walking in representation of either their employees
yes.
that work there, organizations or groups that are fighting legislatively for us, HRC, you know, all those other groups.
Yeah.
They're there in the march. So I think that first part of our pride, at least, that march is that protest.
The representation, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I get it.
And then, you know, everything else is kind of that let's still celebrate who we are.
Yeah.
And if there were more protests, obviously, we're going to drown them out. I mean,
we
outnumber them exponentially when it comes to something like that.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, I kept telling people, did you see the protesters? Oh, there are protesters? Yes. I think you need to go around and go by them and look
yeah.
and see who these people are, because these are the ones that are creating this legislation.
Yes.
These are the ones that are willing to knock on our door and set our cars on fire or yes. do something ridiculous or hunt. These are those people.
Yeah.
So don't be ignorant to the fact that they're here.
Yeah.
Make a point to know who's coming for you, like who's yeah. knocking on your door.
I get it.
And to me, that is, you know, those are those conversations if you're, you know, in it enough to have that with innocent, our younger, you know,
right.
group of LGBT people.
Right.
To them, it's a party.
Right.
And I don't mean it in a mean way. It's a fun way to express yourself. Great. But to those of us who have been around long enough.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah.
And we're still getting it.
Yes.
Maybe not them, but we know we're going to fight back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm totally with you on that. Like, yeah. I know I've been in those pride parades and or those pride events yeah. where it was, we're here in all facets.
Yeah.
You know, and even our allies, even our straight allies, they never really showed up because yeah. this was really that representation.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, I hate to use that old cliche, you know, times change.
No,
well, they really don't. They really don't. I mean, yeah. I think we're on that cycle where, yeah, I believe you wholeheartedly, and I'm right there with you, that we're about to have another Stonewall moment.
I agree.
We're about to have yeah. another Mattachine. We're about to be right there.
See, and what I've been playing this through my mind repeatedly, and I know you know everything that I'm telling you, and we are on the same page.
Yeah.
Maybe for me, if what happened this past weekend in Cleveland was called Reaffirming Fest, or do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Pride was Pride.
Yeah.
You know, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Because I recognize the value of everything that happened there.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Like your friend with the newly trans kid. What an amazing thing, right?
Yeah.
But there still has to be space where we can put on combat boots and give the finger and say, you know what? This is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Take us as we are, or here's
yeah.
my finger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe it's the term pride that is muddying the water a little
sure.
bit.
Sure.
Hmm.
Well,
interesting.
You know, when you have a 7-foot tall drag queen walking down downtown Cleveland, you, people are like, what?
It's hard to miss.
Hey, you know, right, right. But even then, you know, you don't know who's
right.
Who's watching you.
Right.
And again, like last year, I had a hard time being at Pride because I felt like I had a little PTSD after yep. all the bullshit. Mm-hmm. And this year I felt a lot better, but I also had a core group of people that were around me that I made sure
yeah.
that I was surrounded by people that made me feel comfortable
yeah.
and not feel like I was trying to crawl out of my skin.
Yeah.
Because I'm there still looking.
Yeah.
So that's just, it's still tough. It's
Would you ever tough. Go to Pride, Mike?
I haven't been, but I'd see like a super fun time. Yeah, I'd go down there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next year, we're
yeah.
taking
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 2015 we'll Pride, let's go.
We'll broadcast live from
broadcast
Pride.
Broadcast live.
Let's do it.
Live from Pride.
He's already having technical sweats.
The tech sweats.
We can make it. We can make it work.
You got the tech sweats.
Oh,
but no, I think funny. That's at the very least, like it's kind of an affirmation. Like that's, I guess, a component of that is that you're surrounded by your community.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because it, like, despite having any protesters and things like that, but having an event that large is sort of an affirmation that like this community isn't small.
Yeah.
Right.
Like we don't have, this isn't like some fringe stuff that like the protesters think this is.
Absolutely right.
And that is their constant reverberation all the time is that we are this fringe niche group of people that are so ostentatiously wild, and we're here to create havoc on life itself.
Yeah,
you know, and then it's like, okay, come on, just sit down.
And everything is sex.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Everything is sexual.
Every single thing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh well.
Grr. All right, let's move on. I think we got another one. Hello, Titty Tats.
Hello.
It's your favorite grandpa.
Hey.
I am organizing my assisted living home to go to Pride.
Bravo.
What does a 90-year-old gentleman wear to Pride, lovelies? Can I borrow an outfit, Miss Veranda? Well, maybe.
Are you 8 feet tall?
Yeah. Yeah.
What size are you?
And that was from Grandpa Carl in Arizona.
Hi again, Grandpa Carl.
Hey, Grandpa. Oh, my goodness. You know, that is amazing.
That's amazing.
I am so happy that you're doing that. Now, I hope that you have a safe space and you're staying cool and comfortable.
Well, yeah. Maybe you need to rethink your outfit since it's 130 in Arizona right now.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure something sparkly and fun. Actually, you know what, Grandpa Carl? Wear whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
Whatever's comfortable.
Whatever's comfortable. Wear whatever the hell you want. I think have fun with it. Hey, have your friend, you know, maybe they'll crochet you something. Oh. I don't know. That could be something fun.
Crochet me something.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's
well,
awesome.
Have fun, Grandpa Carl.
All right. Dear Titty Tats, Pride is upon us and I want to hide. I am so afraid I'll run into that turnip-topped, toad-faced, turkey-neck troll Miranda.
Oh, no.
I love you, you glamorous hero, Miss Dragalo. She's back.
She's back.
Yay.
Yay. Oh, my God. That's
and
hilarious.
She's right. You are a hero. You are a hero. All the awards you're raking in.
Oof.
You're like Taylor Swift at the Grammys these days.
Yeah. Oh, Dragalo. Yay. Good to hear from you. I mean, not. yeah, it has been. Very interesting this year.
Yeah,
that a lot of local groups are recognizing the contributions that I've made over the years. You know, this year, actually, my Dragiversary is coming up. It'll be 16 years.
Wow. Ooh,
it was in Pride Month that.
And those are dog years.
I am 392.
Or drag years.
And drag
right?
years. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's so humbling to know that to me, I just do it.
Yeah.
Like it's just a part of who I am. I'm just going to keep doing what I do. And as long as people are happy, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Like that's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
But the same token, it's like, okay, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, but you know, you can't open a magazine, turn on your TV, and not hear about Miss Veranda these days. I saw it in a magazine. And then I turned on CNN and they started talking about your new endeavor. You are literally everywhere.
Yeah, that's a whole nother animal.
Yeah, maybe we should do a whole show on that animal.
Yeah.
And have some of your collaborators even call in. That would be amazing.
That would be a good episode. Something brand new that's getting started. And,
yes.
And yeah, I'm always working on something.
Yes, you are.
You know me.
Yes,
busy
you are.
Bee.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Happy Pride, y'all.
Happy Pride, y'all.
I need your true input on this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to expose my... What? Never mind.
Family friendly.
I want to expose my kids, ages 9 and 4, to the love of Pride.
Oh.
I know they may see things they've never seen before. How do I prepare my kids for Pride?
Wow.
It's from Dawn in Bluffton, South Carolina.
Oh, right next to Hilton Head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Dawn.
Dawn.
Dawn. You know, that's interesting. What do you think, Thomas? I've got some ideas, but I want to hear what you think on what could Dawn do to help.
You know,
bring
here's
your kids
the thing.
Up?
Dawn, you know your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they're used to. You know what they're not used to. You know what they respond to, what they don't respond to. I think if they see something they've never seen before, then you can explain it to them in a way that they will understand. You know, And I think that's kid by kid by kid basis,
yeah,
because there's nothing universal as far as kids go.
No.
And also for, did you say 4-year-old?
4 and 9, yeah.
Yeah, I think for the 4-year-old, there's going to be a lot more prize. If you choose maybe to wait a little bit for a 4-year-old, it's a personal choice, you know, sure, as far as any of this goes. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think, so during story hour, you know, I get kids like from 3 to 8 years old.
Yeah.
And the younger ones are oblivious. They just see something colorful and sparkly, yeah, and they're like, wee, this is fun. And I don't think there's much more to it for them. But the 9-year-old, I think there's definitely going to be,
yes,
hey, what's that? Or what's going on over here? You know, there's going to be more questions. And you're right. You're absolutely right. Talk to them as you would any other day, yeah, in any other time. Don't dumb it down. Don't, you know,
yes,
you know how to handle your kid.
Yes.
So you're very right, Thomas. That is exactly how it should be managed.
Yeah. And, you know, even beforehand, there are books, right? Mm-hmm. There are kids' books like The Story of Pride, and it, yep, goes through what every color of the rainbow flag means. Mm-hmm. That would be super helpful.
The Alphabet of Pride, that's one that I read a lot too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's another one, you know, so that they are kind of prepped. But I think what you're inferring was kind of what we were talking about a few moments ago. And should that happen, I, mm-hmm, think that needs to be done per child.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And if there is a drag story over there, take them to that.
Yeah, perfect.
You know, that's, yeah, a good, perfect, innocuous way of going into something that you know you're going to see drag performers at Pride.
Yes.
But this is a nice way to just introduce them to something very, you know, simple.
Yes.
You know, it's not really in your face, so to speak.
You just give them a primer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
A Pride,
yeah,
primer.
A Pride primer.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Because Pride can be sensory overload,
sure,
you know?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
People, music, colors, everything.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Verandas.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Hope that helped. Hey, my sisters.
Hey.
State Department issues warnings for terrorism at Pride events worldwide.
Mm.
I know Veranda is a fixture at Prides everywhere. How do you do what you do under this nonsense? And that's Sherry from LA.
Oof.
That's a deep one.
It is. And, you know, kind of like full circle here with talking about kids and families and whatnot. Another family friend contacted me and they had seen these alerts.
Mm.
And they're like, my kid wants to go to Pride because they're identifying and... Totally separate, you know,
yeah,
group of people. And I'm afraid for them.
Yeah.
I said, well, you know what? As a parent, I would be remiss if you weren't.
Yeah.
You, right, know, and good for you that you're paying attention to what's going on, but also note that is, you know, where is this actually coming from?
Yeah.
Is this coming from a different city, a different area? Like, we're technically in a blue city, you know?
Yes.
It's fairly safe, I would say.
Yeah.
There's going to be detractors. There's going to be all those different things, but case by case, right?
Yes.
It is a case by case. It's city, yes, by city. It is all of those things.
Yeah.
And if you feel that way, talk to the organizers.
Yeah.
Talk to the local police departments.
Yeah.
You know, that's an easy phone call.
Yeah.
That's an easy thing to say. I'm gonna do my due diligence and make sure. That's how I handle it.
Mm.
But I'm on a different.
Yeah.
I'm in a different kind of arena here because after being targeted, you know, my visibility is different.
Yeah.
My, you know, what I'm going through is just a little bit different.
Yeah.
A little bit more intense. But keep your ear to the ground. I mean, knowing that these warnings are out there, I think that that's also a good sign that people are, that those law enforcement individuals are paying attention.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not going to blindside you.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's scary, that you just don't know,
yeah,
who's going to come into this public space.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say that to scare anybody.
Right.
But it could happen. I mean, look at everything else that's going on in the world.
Yeah. But that, you know, and that could also be any event,
mm-hmm,
anywhere in, mm-hmm, the world, you know. And it, for me anyway, it kind of comes down to a little bit of due diligence.
Doo-doo? A little bit of doo-doo.
It's all doo-doo. A little bit of due diligence.
Yeah.
And like you said, know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you parking? You, mm-hmm, know, all those kinds of things. But you could be at a Yankees game,
yeah,
and be concerned, you know? I mean, I just saw the World Championship of Cricket on Long Island. It was like specifically
named. You watched that?
No.
He's like, let me be clear.
Yeah. No, please. It was specifically named as a target for ISIS. They specifically came out and said that's what they are doing. And that's a little bit of a different story for me. You know,
sure.
I mean,
right.
Sure, but still.
A little different level of magnitude.
Right? Absolutely right. But to your point, this is anywhere in the world, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But, and go ahead. We're saying, like, we are all considering these groups or individuals that are coming for, local events, local pride events. You know, that's domestic terrorism.
It is.
That is all domestic terrorism.
It is.
And for people to kind of dumb that down and say, oh, well, you know, no, it's not really. Well, it is. They're our neighbors are coming for us. That's domestic.
That's right.
That's terrorism.
That's right.
So you're right. Do the doo-doo and make sure.
That is a hard phrase.
Do the doo-doo and, yes. and make sure you're doing the right thing.
We have
right?
a new t-shirt.
Do the doo-doo.
Do the doo-doo. And you can buy that for your 4-year-old.
Yeah. Do the doo-doo. Yeah. And they will probably cackle all day long, yes. right?
Get like yes. a toddler onesie. Yeah.
With a little little poop emoji on it, right? Yeah. It'll do the doo-doo.
Yes, and Veranda's shocked face. Above it.
Perfect for pride.
Oh, boy.
Well, those were some great emails. Our two tats are wonderful.
Yeah. We were overwhelmed.
Good.
Yes, we were
That's
overwhelmed.
Wonderful. That's great to know. Great to know. Well, we love you, Chitty Tats, out there. So, hey, guess what?
What?
We have a special guest.
I know we do.
Super excited.
It's going to be fun, and it's going to be a little dirty.
Ooh, we like that. A little doo-doo.
Do the doo-doo.
We'll be right back.
And we're back.
Woohoo!
Wait, do we have a perfect guest for Pride?
Yes, Yay. this is going to be exactly what we need.
Well, you may need more than me, but...
Hey, wait a minute.
Without further delay, our own personal tit for tat show sex therapist,
yes.
Matt Lachman.
Hello, Yay. Darling.
Hi, how are you doing?
How in the world
everyone.
Have you been?
How's it going? I've been great, you know, just surviving Cleveland Pride, growing my business.
You're
doing all the fun sex therapy stuff,
and
talking
about
sex
for
all the time.
Absolute transparency.
You know,
Matt graciously still came on the show, even though he is in the midst or post head cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we appreciate that sacrifice.
Yeah, anything for you too. Anything to talk about.
Don't tempt us with a good time, Matt. You know? Do not do it.
Oh,
if I was in the studio, you know
Rebook.
What would happen.
Rebook. Oh, well, we.
Hey, I was being PG-13
there. This is what he does.
But,
right,
you know,
Miranda.
I get it.
He walks me to the edge of that road. And then he runs away and looks angelic, and I'm standing there looking like the only hope.
Well, he is edging you, so.
Yes, right. Perfect segue into edging and how to incorporate that into a relationship.
I really, really do. Yeah, he does. He keeps me on my toes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's probably some kinky thing about on the toes, too, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll get to that in our individual
session. Your ears must have been burning on a very regular basis, because about every other email that we get, Veranda and I look at each other and are completely baffled by the sexual reference. And for people of a certain age, as two gay men, you would assume we would know our way around the idea of sexuality.
But we have fun with it, though, trying to figure it out.
Right.
Oh, no, I get it. I totally understand what you're talking about. I still get dumped from time to time. It's just a part of the ever-evolving language, especially within like queer LGBTQ sex too. Yeah. There's just all of these phenomenal new terms, and sometimes I just sit with my clients and I'm like, can you please
good
love of God,
now I feel
don't feel alone in this.
Oh, that's so funny. Wow. I will say, I will embarrass myself, and I will say, as I was like looking at your Instagram page, I apparently had an image and a description of what you do in my head. And I was absolutely dumbfounded when I was reading one of your posts that was quoting female body parts. And I was like, what does this have to do with anything? Not realizing that, of course, you're a therapist for everybody.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, unfortunately, not just for our queer brethren. Yes, for everyone. Although I will say, especially in Cleveland and in Ohio, I market myself a lot to the LGBTQ community because there's a lot of, you know, therapists out there working with the beautiful, straight, cis people of the world. But especially when it comes to sex and intimacy, it is just such a nuanced approach that I take depending on the client.
They've got theirs.
I try to make sure I'm that resource.
We've got you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Ruth.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yes. There is a phenomenal Dr. Ruth documentary. I don't know if you've seen it, but I can't. Okay. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, if I could be a Dr. Ruth for the gay community, I will gladly accept that. Although I'm 6'4".
We'll make it work.
We'll
figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be perfect.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So let's get down to business.
Edging. We've been edging for the past 10 minutes.
We have to climax eventually.
Although I did learn from your Instagram page, that is not necessarily the goal.
Oh. God, music to my ears, absolutely not. There's just too much time and pressure put on the damn orgasm. So we gotta stray away from that. As a Well, broadly speaking, the goal is pleasure, right? You know, I talk to my clients often about, you know, an orgasm, the climax, and, you know, if you're a penis owner, right, the ejaculation is only like 5% of the overall experience. What are we doing the other 95%, right? We're connecting, we're exploring, we're releasing all of these phenomenal chemicals into our body. Yet we blow past that, no pun intended, because we're like, oh, I gotta have an orgasm. And so, you know, orgasms are fun, but if we're putting too much pressure on it, then we're like missing the point of sex.
Well, but I also think that, you know, as at least I speak for, you know, gay men, it's kind of like, you know, wham, bam. I need to get this done. I'm looking for that release. I'm good.
Well,
you know,
stay off a Grindr then.
Grindr, I hardly know her.
Oh my God. I have such a rule with Grindr with my clients. I'm like, if you go on Grindr for like 30 minutes to an hour, if you're really looking to connect with somebody, but then if you can't find anybody, you need to just go masturbate. You need to just take care of yourself so that you don't get stuck in that Grindr abyss. You know, of just constantly searching and looking, and I want something to be so specific. You must be this, I must be that. And before you know it, you've been edging yourself mentally.
I'd say 2 hours later, you know.
Like 2 to 3 hours, and then literally, and then you're like, oh, well, I just wasted my night. I'm just going to go masturbate.
And I feel like I can't that's find why exactly they called it Grindr. Because it literally feels like
the
Grindr. It does. Yeah, it does. Wow.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I also think, gosh, I should know this as a sex therapist, but I'm almost positive. Okay, don't quote me here. But I think Grindr was one of the first ever quote-unquote dating apps that existed. I think it came way before Tinder, and it came before, I mean, like actual apps, not like Adam for Adam kind of stuff. But I think Grindr was the first, if not one of like the first three. So
yeah, and I agree with you. I think it was also the very first that actually had distance, and you could see that type of thing, which was terrifying initially.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And now who cares, right? I mean,
well, that's a cult, like the murder app. Like, you don't know who the hell you're hooking up with. Like, you know, you go into a stranger's house or you're meeting somewhere, you know. That's still a little scary, too, sometimes.
Yes, brought to you by the boner killer sitting across from me.
Seriously. And everybody's going to surrender immediately because you may die. No, not at all. That's like interesting though. So I'm about to be 36 in a few weeks, and my partner is about to be 41 in a few weeks, and we've been together for roughly 8 years, and we talk a lot about like how when he was growing up being gay and how he engaged with sex and sexuality, and he was a lot of, you know, like Craigslist and Adam for Adam and these websites. And I just remember when I started exploring my own stuff, Grindr was like, I mean, Grindr was there a lot of the time. Grindr was already there. And so it's just so interesting. I love talking with like gay men of various generations just about their experiences and how it's evolved and changed with the incorporation of technology.
I don't know if you caught that.
Well, see, I was looking at the hieroglyphics on the wall and you see who was the closest.
Hieroglyphics, God, I don't even know what that is.
All right, that's the end of the show.
I have to say, the thought that the first thought that came into my mind when you were just telling that story, what amount of pressure, Veranda, would it be to be the partner of a sex therapist?
True.
That would be
interesting.
It would blow my mind, right? I'd be like, is he judging my technique now? Is he going to suggest the better way to do this?
True.
Wow. Uh-huh. I give a big round of applause.
And that is all accurate. No, oh my God. Not at all. No. But yeah, no, we talk a lot about it. Like, thankfully, my partner just really does not care what I do whatsoever. In a good, healthy way. It's like, oh, God. I was like, oh, I'm going on the tit for tat show tonight to talk about sex and, you know, all this stuff. And he's like, great, fun. Go talk about sex again.
He's cool. Clearly never heard the show. Or he would have been astounded.
I'm now going to force him to listen.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah, make sure he listens to the episode where we go. What was it? The
I know what you're gonna say.
Dirty Pierre, whatever. Yeah.
That was a stumper for us. I don't know if you're familiar with that term.
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh,
good.
Oh my God.
What term?
You'll have.
Yeah. Fill me in.
Fill him in. Because that was definitely when we said, we've got to get Matt back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It was basically pulling on pubic hair. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we cackled for about a week.
Gen Z, so clever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, as you're saying, you know, since you're a sex therapist and your partner and everything, I always think about like, there are, you know, the porn actors and they're potential partners? Like, how do they feel about, you know, being that, that they're, that's their profession. Sex is their profession. And, you know, think of like strippers and that, like you're being fondled, you're being touched, you're being looked at all the time. Like, there's got to be some form of jealousy there at some point in time.
Yeah, the story of my life. Looked at, fondled, tipped. Oh, my God. I can relate to every word you just said.
speak the truth there. Yeah, you know, like sex workers, sexological body workers, right? Like, you, in working with them and like being in this field for, you know, close to about 7 years now, like there is such a security that one has to have to be in a relationship with someone who has such access to their sexuality, you know, because the world we live in is so sex negative, right? It's so restricting. And so I've always found that when I meet sex workers, porn stars, right? And when I meet their partners, I'm always like, okay, so you like, do you still experience jealousy? What shows up? And they're like, of course I do. But that's part of the relationship, is navigating that anxiety. It just so happens to be with our genitals that we're using. So,
you know, a lot of sex workers tend to hook up with sex workers, you know, kind of like actors dating actors. You kind of get the gig.
And you, there's a mutual understanding.
But not, I mean, not me. I tried to, I was dating a psychologist at one point in my life, and I was like, get me the hell out of here as quickly as possible. Just two people trying to pick at each other's brains just doesn't work.
So we could actually sell tickets to the meetup between you and Dr. Pete on the Tit for Tat show.
Oh, God. Yes. How
Round
fun.
One.
Dr. Pete's phenomenal. Such a great human.
He is. Yeah, and he helps us a lot with the other side of the show that we can't really fully knowledgeably enough speak to when we get, you know, questioning youth and fear and suicidal aspects. But not tonight. Tonight, we
Tonight is sex.
Tonight is sex, you know. And other thing that I wanted to talk to you about, I think, which also goes back to insecurity, I also saw that you were a specialist in polyamorous situations, which seems to be growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
And I do consider myself polyamorous. I guess you can, you still would be polyamorous if you don't happen to be in a polyamorous relationship at the moment.
Yeah, you know, there's a term for that.
Oh, wow.
Called solo poly, right? That's sort of what it is. It's this idea of, you know, you can call yourself single, right?
Yeah.
You don't, and you don't say, oh, I'm solo monogamous, right? But when you're single, it's not like you're operating in this limbo between monogamy and polyamory. So you can still be poly, and just not be in a relationship, because polyamory, consensual non-monogamy, ethical non-monogamy, whatever you want to call it, is just a state of mind, right? It's this belief system. It's what, in the research, some even talk about it as like an orientation. Like, what are you oriented towards?
Yeah.
We just don't get exposure to it growing up. We get exposure to solely to monogamy, and at that, toxic monogamy, right? So,
because personally, I just do not believe that love is finite.
And so,
I agree. So it makes sense to me that, you know, certain people can fulfill different parts of you, or, you know, can meet you in a different place, and it doesn't mean you love anyone else less just because you love somebody else as well. But very much to your point, that is highly not spoken of in a very open way. But I,
Yeah.
But I do kind of think that gay men kind of like are trailblazing that, not, of course, not exclusively, but tend to be trailblazing that.
Oh, without a doubt. I think too, like, this idea of what I find, so I'm also poly. My partner and I are polyamorous as well. We operate just from a traditional open relationship, which means we engage sexually with other people, but our relationship at its core is just me and him.
Nice.
Right. So, and how, you know, it's this idea of when I talk to people about poly, I'm like, you don't just like wake up in the morning and go, well, I'm going to give 10% of my love to my partner, and I'm going to give 20% of my love to my cat because my cat needs
right.
it. But only 5% of my love to my other cat because I'm not liking her today. And then 15%, right? Like, that's not how our brain works. Yeah. Like, we're the ones that set the structures around love. Yeah. And quite honestly, it is... it's really threatening to be poly yeah. in this yes. world, because a lot of monogamous people, the moment that you say you're poly, their sort of ego and insecurity can be triggered. Yeah. And then it's almost like they jump into this defensive
yes.
state,
yes.
right? I don't know if you've ever experienced
yes.
that before talking about being poly or talking about being open.
Yeah. And, you know, it seems to me it's the same people who are cheating on the monogamous relationship that have the most problem
yeah.
with the honesty of a poly situation.
Oh yeah. I mean, we talk a lot about, I would say, you know, 40 to 50% of my caseload are poly relationships and poly individuals. And people wanting to like dive into it for the yeah. first time. And we talk a lot about like, it's not poly that's doing this to your relationship. It's not poly's fault. It's, you know, insecurity. It's toxicity. Yeah. It's fear. It's, you know, this culture that we grew up in that says we can't really talk about sex or we should know everything about
yeah.
sex.
Yeah.
Right. So that's the shit we have to work through. Not like, you know, oh, poly ruined my relationship. No, that's not
right.
how it works. It's the shit that you learned growing right. up. And then to your point, Thomas, I think you're the one that said this, but yeah, queer people, especially gay men, because we tend to be, you know, a lot at the forefront of when people think of the queer community. Yeah, definitely leading the way with poly. A lot, because a lot of LGBTQ individuals have this sort of, have like less restrictions
yeah.
than straight people do in a lot of ways when it comes to relationships.
Yes.
Right? Like, we are already othered in this world.
Right.
And so, yeah, we can be poly, we can explore, we can engage, and then see that, oh, this is actually working for us, instead of feeling really trapped and confined yeah. within the heterosexual structures of relationships.
I think when most gay individuals finally enter into the community and navigate through the different groups and whatnots, that it's very liberating.
Mm-hmm.
It's very freeing to know that this exists.
Yeah.
And like, you know, going back to saying, you know, sometimes
yeah.
our parents are toxic monogamists, you know,
yeah.
they're,
yeah.
they love to hate each other and they hate to love each other. You know, it's that whole thing. And that's all that we're brought up with. And it
yeah.
just, it's a kick in the pants when you consistently keep hearing people say, well, you know, being gay is a choice. And rah, rah. Well, no, it's not. Because if
uh-huh.
I wanted to choose to be in a toxic, really, you know, like it just,
right.
it's so ridiculous,
yeah.
but I can see how, you know, at least for myself, I can say, you know, I came out, you know, a little bit later, I guess, in my own world. But when I finally started entering into
mm-hmm.
these other groups and these other areas of our community, I'm like, wow, like, this is so interesting. This is so
mm-hmm.
Inviting.
Yeah.
This it really piqued my interest about everything. So I wanted to see what was going on.
Yeah.
Like, it was really something for me to realize. And I'm still learning to this day. Like, I knew the word polyamorous. I knew kind of what it meant, but hearing it described today, yeah, you know, yeah. it really mm-hmm. has a different tone to me.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of something very, something a little bit different than what was being explained. So yeah. like I learned something new today and I'm very, like, I'm thrilled.
Yay.
Yeah. Mm.
The more you know. Yes.
And
well, we...
And I do have something I need to ask you, because even as we keep talking, my mind yeah. keeps going back to it and going back to it. How hard is it for you to continually use the correct words? For example, when you said, God. If you happen to be a penis owner.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Now,
yeah.
that...
Yeah.
That is burned into my brain right now. And I was like, uh-huh. wow, that's really hard, because clearly you can't say... If you're a dude, yeah. right?
Right, right, right. Yeah, no, I mean, and also, like, one that I just learned the other day, because I think it's part of my job, you know, not necessarily as a gay individual, but as a sex therapist, as a certified sex therapist, I'm part of my job is also advocacy work and education, right? Sex education for this stuff. And so providing that flexibility and terminology, right? So I've been saying a lot like penis owner, vulva owner, right? But then also when I learned another phrase, testosterone dominant individual and estrogen dominant individual, right? Like, it's just the flexibility in language that helps, that I think is what helps us grow, right? I think that's why we're seeing so much more representation, even within our community yeah. and the freedom of asexuality and all the branches that have come off of asexuality too, right? So, so yeah, I mean, to answer your question, yes, it is tricky. It is tricky to constantly remember to use the, you know, the what I feel is a more inclusive yeah. terminology, but the more I do it, the easier it becomes.
So have you written a handbook yet? Because I'm getting really confused. That's a lot to remember.
Go to my website, clevelandsextherapy.com. Go to my
there
shop.
You go.
It is a lot to remember, but the beauty of this too, even in our community, is just always ask.
Yeah.
Right, like that's the rule of thumb, right? Is ask if you don't know mm-hmm. something, swallow the. All of us have an ego, right? Swallow the ego, and ask the question if you don't know
yeah,
something.
And until Dr.
It can feel
until Dr. Pete smacks you down, because his response to that was, and why is it their responsibility to educate you when you are perfectly capable of Googling?
Oh, yeah. Well, let me contradict Dr. Pete slightly.
Round
here.
Two.
Yes. He is totally right. You know, like, it is our, I will give him that. This is what us therapists do, right? It's like, yes, Dr. Pete's response is beautiful and it's awesome, and it you can go and you can engage with Google and you can explore this. And if you're with somebody that you trust yes. and you talk to and they use this terminology that's new to yes. you, it's okay to ask them
yes.
for it, right? And then check in. Was it okay for me to ask you that?
Yeah.
Right? Because you're not going in and saying, tell me your life history. Tell me everything
right.
about what that term means,
yes.
right? But in the context of your relationship, for sure, definitely.
Yeah. See, that's so funny. I tend to be very visual. And so when Veranda was saying about how confusing it is and a flowchart and all that kind of stuff, I tend to just put a picture next to it. So for like asexual, all I see is Morrissey. You know, from the Smiths. So that's how I can identify. Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Now, if they ever start changing yes. their sexuality, I'm screwed. So.
Yeah. You're like, but wait, what? Who should you be
right.
now? What artist are we switching
yes.
to?
Oh my goodness. This is very, very complex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think too, something that came to mind, that when you two were talking just about like how we learn this stuff, right? Like we watch our parents and they're engaging in whatever relationship style that they viewed their parents in, right?
Yeah.
That's why it's really important for, you know, parents to understand themselves as they're raising children and try to change patterns so that they don't get passed on. But as sex therapists, we have something that's called the garden analogy that we use when we're talking about desire specifically, but it's applicable to really all contexts that involve how we learned to be the people we are today. And this was created by Emily Nagoski. I don't know if you've heard of her before, but she wrote a phenomenal book called Come As You Are, which is just all about arousal and desire and all of that good stuff. But what she talks about is, you know, when we are born, we get access to this garden, right? And we have our own seeds, right? A few seeds, which is our sexuality, and we plant them in this garden. And as we get older, we're watering this garden, and this garden grows and it becomes so beautiful and vast. But then we're looking and we're seeing that, wow, there are all of these weeds in our garden. And what we didn't realize is that when we planted our seeds in our garden, family also planted seeds in our garden. Religion planted seeds in our garden. You know, culture planted seeds in our garden. Sex negative, abstinence, sex education planted seeds in our garden, right? All of these other influences impacted us, and we're watering this garden and we're not realizing that we're taking in all of these beliefs that have been passed on by generations and generations. And so we enter these relationships with potentially toxic monogamous viewpoints, right? With shame around sex, with toxic masculinity and femininity and all that good stuff. And so it's up to us to then notice that and then do the work to unlearn it.
And pull the weeds.
And pull the damn weeds.
Well, I have a garden analogy that I like to use a lot. I really do. My garden analogy is, if you're going to be a hoe, you better rake in the dough. That's, you know, come on.
Hey, listen, I support that one. I think that one needs to be in textbooks as well.
Another t-shirt.
Profit.
I just can't believe...
That's all I got out of that conversation.
I'm wondering at what point you stopped listening.
Yeah, it turned off.
And we're like, I got one.
Did you see the gleam in my eye?
No, because I was very thoughtfully listening to the garden.
I was too.
Yes.
Stop planting seeds, Miranda. Oh, God, man.
This is why I love this show.
Yes, we are in...
The next time I'm droning on about a damn garden, I'm going to need some, like, clicks or something to be like, wrap it.
No, I enjoyed the garden. Yes. It's just my very, the personal snake over there. Oh, that was awesome. Oh, my goodness. Yes, so next time, Matt, you got to come in studio.
Yes. When,
yes. And,
Yes, I can pick it so I can see this snake.
Yes, yes. And because we have a continuing growing file of things that we didn't get to that our viewers are sending in and asking. But we just had too much fun just chatting it up.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Yeah, no, this is amazing.
Awesome.
I can't wait to to talk more about it whenever and wherever.
All right. We look forward to it.
Yes, and until then, keep your garden green, everybody.
And be a hoe.
Be a hoe. That's called sex positive.
That's right.
Yes. I will continue to refer to myself as a penis owner until we meet again.
music to my ears.
Matt Lockman, as always, what a pleasure and so much learning.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We will talk soon.
Yes.
Bye-bye. Yes.
Bye.
Now we're ready.
What are you laughing at?
I'm a Hunter Simpson. Oh, the break. Oh, we love our little breaks. Yeah.
You're about to get a big break. How amazing is Matt?
Oh, absolutely wonderful. Yes.
He is. He's amazing.
Yeah.
He scares me a little bit because there's so much I don't know, right?
Yeah, he's got to get that handbook.
Right. Yeah, you got to order it.
Yes,
and that handbook.
Every single time he comes on, I am like, but I feel like I'm starting over again.
Yeah. It's learning.
I thought I'd learned so much already, and you come out with this whole box full
back
of
the
new
beginning.
Things.
So if you don't say penis owner, you are potentially miswedding somebody.
Miss sexing.
Miss.
Yeah.
Right? I know her. Yeah. So, yeah.
You are her.
I've worked with her before.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're like,
right.
Miss sexing versus misgendering.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Although, isn't sex and gender.
Nope.
No.
Not the act of sex, but I meant like the sex. Never mind. I'm digging myself deeper and deeper.
For next time.
If you find yourself in a hole, stop digging.
I'm a penis owner.
If you you dug a big hole in that garden, didn't you?
You did not understand what I was saying. That's on you, not me. Sex positive here. Oh my! It is hard.
So would I be a silicone boob owner?
I think you would.
Okay, there we go.
Probably breast would be. Probably breast would be the proper term.
Silicone knocker owner.
There you go.
There we go. Yes. Another T-shirt. Silicone knocker owner.
Just do you.
I do the doo-doo.
Right. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, it was fun.
My head will be spinning until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yes. I'll be getting these weird text messages from you.
How does your garden grow? Yeah.
With a hoe.
Wow. That is awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, we have to have him in the studio again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he won't survive at that point.
Right. And I don't think you've met, have you, Mike?
I haven't.
No.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And he's so, like, just when you hear him talk, he's so mellow. And you know, really cool. He's a cucumber.
Very calm, very relaxed.
Yeah. And then. Until then, we need to keep sowing the seeds of discord between our medical professionals.
Sowing the seeds in that garden.
Right. Yes. Right. MMA. Dr. MMA. Who do you think would win?
Oh, Lord, I have no idea.
Because Dr. Pete does, like, triathlon stuff.
Right.
I don't know what Matt does, but he has a lot of sex.
Sex triathlons.
Sexathlons.
See?
They both have a lot of stamina.
It's going to be a long
match.
Oh, God, that's funny. All right, before I keep digging my hole deeper, I think it's about that time.
Oh, Lordy.
It's about time to say goodnight, Mike.
Goodnight, Mike.
It's about time to say goodnight, Veranda.
Goodnight, you hoe.
Stay out of my garden. And this is Thomas. And always remember, if you got nobody else,
you've always got us.
Tit for tat, oh, tit for tat. For every tint, there's a tat. Tit, tit, tat, tat, tit, tit, tat. Tit for tat. Thomas and Veranda, a dude and a queen. Talking about the gossip. give you the dish.